The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simen Hey, Nikayon HaMakom L'davar Shebekdusha. The cleanliness of the place where one would like to say matters of holiness. Sif Aleph. Ksiv, it's stated in the verse in Devarim, V'chisisa tzeyasecha, and you should cover your excrement. Ki Hashem aleikecha, because Hashem your God, mishanlech bekerav machanecha, is traveling with you in the midst of your camp, the Gomer, etc. V'hayom machanecha kadosh, and your camp should be holy. And it should not be seen in you an ervas davar, literally a matter of nakedness, and we will define that later on. The Gemara, etc. Mikan lomdu hadal. From here, our rabbis learn shebechol makom. Then every place, asher Hashem elokeinu mishalech imanu, that Hashem our God is traveling with us, is coming, is with us. This means to say, when we are involved in holy matters, for example, Kriya Shema, we are saying Shema, Tefillah, we are praying, Torah, we are learning Torah, or any similar activity, we are saying a blessing. The camp, meaning the area in which a person is, has to be holy. Meaning, there should not be uncovered excrement in that area. And that a devar erva, a matter of nakedness, again, which will be explained later on in the simen, should not be visible opposite the face of the person who is reading or is praying, the one who is learning or is praying. We will discuss the second half of this halacha, the second half of this law, a little bit later in the simen. And the first half, the part about the waste matter, the excrement, will be discussed now for the first portion of this simen. Sif Beis. Vafilu laharher b'divrei kedusha. Even to think about holy matters, b'makim say in a place where there is excrement, a mirag lying where there is urine, a kol davar shemasriach, or any other matter, any other item which has a foul odor, also is forbidden until you cover it. As it says in the verse that we quoted earlier, you should cover your waist. So the excrement must be covered before one is even able to think about a davar shebekdusha. One may not think of Torah or words of prayer unless the excrement is covered over. Or he pours into the urine, the pool of urine from one episode of urinating, revius mayim, a revius of water. A revius is between 3 and 5 ounces. It's a question exactly how much water that is. So we'll just say, for argument's sake, 3 ounces of water. A person has to pour a revius of water into the Meraglayim in order to allow oneself to then say a davar shebekdusha, to pray, to learn Torah. It doesn't make a difference if the urine was in the container, in the receptacle first, and you then put water on top, you need a revius. Then it does not matter. It doesn't make a difference if the water was in the receptacle, the utensil first, and then when urinated into it, there has to have been a revius of water in the receptacle beforehand, and then the meraglayim, the urine, has been nullified, and one is able to pray or to learn in that area. Parenthetically, the Kitzur points out, if the urine was in a receptacle which is designated for them, such as a potty or the like, then water does not help, because the receptacle itself has the status of an item which is fel, which is like tzayel, which is like excrement, and one may not pray or learn in the presence of the receptacle itself. If there is urine from two episodes of urinating, Tzrichin Beis Revi'is requires two Revi'is, let's say 6 ounces of water. Beis Revi'is Mayim, two Revi'is of water, V'chein Lailam, and etc. per episode of urinating, one needs an extra Revi'is for three episodes. Three Revi'is, four, etc. V'afilu in Nivlu Amer Aglayim, but however, there is a discussion in the Paiskim. What happens if the amount of Meraglayim is less than a Revi'is? Let's say there is very little Meraglayim in the container. Is it sufficient to pour enough, a majority of water? So there'll be a majority of water. Let's say, for example, there's an ounce of Meraglayim, of urine, in the container. The Mishnah Berurah comes out that it is sufficient to pour more than an ounce of water onto that, and that will be enough to nullify the Meraglayim that is in the container. Additionally, the Mishnah Berurah comes out that it is possible to nullify a large quantity of Meraglayim of urine, even from multiple episodes of urinating, with one Revi'is of water if you pour the Revi'is in at the end, after all the Meraglayim is in the container. This that we say that you need a separate Revi'is per episode of urinating is only when there is Meraglayim in the container and you pour water in. Then one urinated again. So the water that's there already is not sufficient. He has to pour water again. But if there was a large quantity of Meraglayim in the container from multiple episodes of urinating, then Mr. Brewer says it is sufficient to pour a Revi'is of water at the end. However, these are both disagreements among the Paiskim. The simple reading of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is that one should really use a Revi'is of water at all times, no matter what. Continues the Kitzur. Even if the urine was absorbed into the ground, and mostly absorbed in the ground, of a baggage or in a garment, as long as there's still a little bit of moisture left from the meraglayim, one is required to pour water onto it in order for one to be able to allow to pray and to learn. The amount of moisture that we're talking about is what is known in halacha as teifeach amenas lehat piach. It is moist enough to allow the hand that touches it to become so wet that it can moisten something else. That if there's moisture of meraglayim in a garment, if I touch that garment with my finger will become wet enough that I could then moisten slightly something else. If it is not that moist, it's as if it's not there, it's as if it is completely dried up and no water is required. The Mishnah Berurah points out on Paskins, he rules that when the meraglayim is mostly absorbed in a garment or in the ground, all one has to do is further moisten the area with water. One does not need to pour a complete Revi'is. It's enough just to moisten it with water. That will be enough to neutralize the meraglayim that's already there, and one will be allowed to pray or to learn. This is something one has to be somewhat careful of if one has little children and he has a little child that's on his lap. It is sometimes possible that the diaper could leak and the like, and he could get his clothes, his outer garment could get somewhat moist from urine. In a case like that, he has to be careful. He may not pray, he may not learn, unless he further moistens the area with a little bit of water. Sif Gimel. Im yesh tzoya al besarei, if there is excrement on a person's flesh, af al pisha mechusa bevegadav, even though it is covered over with his garments, let's say he has it on his leg, a little bit of tzoya, and it's covered by his pants. Still, also, b'divrei kedusha, he is forbidden to utter words of holiness. He may not pray, he may not study Torah. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Kol Atzmai Saitei Meina, all my bones will say, Hashem Michamecha, Hashem, who is like you? Which means that a person's whole body is involved in uttering words of holiness. And therefore, Ba'inan, we require Sheyu Kulam Nekiyim, that all of his limbs should be clean from excrement. V'yesh Mekiyim Bazeh, there are those who are lenient in this matter, and they permit one to say holy words, Darisha B'Kedusha, as long as the tzaya is covered. But the proper thing to do is to be strict and not to pray and not to learn, not to study Torah, if there is some excrement upon a person's body, even though it is covered over. Everyone will agree that if there's even a little bit of excrement at the opening of the rectum, where it comes out, even though it's covered with his garments, according to everybody in Leimahani, that covering is insufficient, does not help to allow one to say words of Kedusha. Because in its place, its filth is much greater. And everyone will agree that the excrement in that area will prevent a person from being allowed to pray or to study. A person who has the sickness of hemorrhoids, Ayin Magen Avram, Simin Ayin Vav. One should take a look in the commentary of the Magen Avram. So the Shulchan Aruch, Simin Ayin Vav, Sifkat Nches. Shehevi Tshuvas HaRadvaz, where he brings a responsa of the Radvaz in this topic. Hibichel Gimel Simin Shintas Vav, and that's in the third volume of responsa of the Radvaz, Simin Shintas Vav. Umisayf Tivir Magen Avram, and at the end of the words of the Magen Avraham, where he quotes the Radvaz as saying that it's not necessary, there's no way to fix this. Magen Avraham there quotes the Radvaz as discussing blood that comes out of a person's body, and he has a sickness of hemorrhoids. If it's really coming from inside, from the internal organs, that blood may have a din of tzaya, of excrement, and he may not pray or learn unless he wipes it away and cleanses himself from that blood. If, however, the blood is coming from the actual hemorrhoid, from the outer part of the rectum, then that's just like any regular cut a person has in his body, and it's not considered like excrement. A person may pray even without washing away that blood. The Magen Avraham there says, brings from the Radvaz, that if the blood comes out in rhythmically, not continuous flow, but in a pulsating rhythm, we assume it is from the internal organs and one must wash it off before praying or before studying. If, however, the blood comes out in even flow, one could assume that it's coming from the outer part of the body and no washing is required. One could pray or study even without taking care of it. It seems there was an erroneous text in the Magen Avraham which read that in that latter case, that Ein Lo Takana, it's impossible to fix it, there's no way to take care of it, and he may not pray, he may not study. So the Kitzur is telling you, Hutai Sefer, that is a copyist error. The Tzarech Leiman, the correct text should read, the Ein Lo Tzarech Takana, he does not need to fix it. Rather, that blood is not considered to be excrement. One may pray even without washing away that blood. Ayin Yad Ephraim, take a look in the commentary of the Yad Ephraim on that Magen Avraham. Sif Dalet. Srichim Lizai, a person must be careful. Shabbachol Makim, Shiyeshli Estapik, any place that there is some reasonable doubt, Shema Yesham Tzaya, maybe there is excrement there. Ayin Merag Laim, or there is a puddle of urine, La Yayim Hashem Shum Dabe Shabbik Dusha, he may not say in that area any matter of Kedusha, he may not pray, he may not say a blessing, until he checks the area and makes sure that it is clean. And the Mishnebrura and the Shulchan Aruch clearly say that a suffik miraglayim, if there is a doubt, if there is a pool of urine, one does not have to worry about it, one does not have to be strict and check for it. It would seem that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is talking when it's more reasonable to suspect it, and he's telling you, even though normally one does not have to be nervous about a doubt, a possibility of standing pool of urine, But if it's a very reasonable, if it's a very reasonable possibility, one should be more careful. One should check before praying or before studying. Vayelis pala b'vayis in the aliyah yeshmakim etun. If a person should not pray in a house, that in the attic there is an area which is dirty. For example, there is some type of outhouse, a potty in the attic in the second story. To pray in the first floor, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is telling you one should not do that. However, it's clear from the Mishneh Berurah that on a temporary basis, as long as there's no permanent synagogue, there's no permanent area to pray or to learn, Mishneh Berurah is clear that the minhag is, the custom is not to be so strict about that and to pray on the first floor, even though in the second floor, in the second story, there is a makom etun, there is a dirty area, there is excrement or the like. Sifhei, tinek, a young child, a baby, she'achirim b'yama, that others of his age, or her age, yecholim le'achol kezayis minei dagan, could eat a kezayis, a volume of an olive's worth of some type of grain, afilo al yedei tavshil, even if they could not eat it, this grain directly, only through in a cooked dish, b'chdei, with enough time, they could eat this kezayis within the time span, shegodol oichol shirpras, that an adult could eat the amount of a half a loaf of bread, standardized half a loaf of bread that is used in Hilchas Erevin, Halachas, other areas of Halacha, what we call Kedei Achilas Pras, time, the opinions as to how much time that is range between 2 and 9 minutes. So one could eat a Kezayis, which is a disagreement exactly how much that is, let's say approximately 1 fluid ounce worth of grain within a 2 to 9 minute span. Then one is obligated to distance oneself from this child's excrement or urine before praying or before studying Torah. And it is good and proper to distance oneself even from the excrement of a baby who is only 8 days old. But the strict letter of the law is only when the child is of age that is able to eat a kezayis of grain within Kedei Achilas Pras. Exactly what age that is a disagreement among the Paiskim. Certainly if you know that this particular child is able to eat that amount, it's certainly forbidden. If this child does not yet eat food, or does not eat that much food, exactly what age this is, a disagreement ranges from 1 or 2 months to 5 or 6 months. One should ask their personal rav what opinion they should follow. Sif vav, tsayas adam, the excrement of a person, afal pi she'ein lo reach ra, even though it is not at the moment emitting a foul odor. V'chein tsayas chasul, so to the excrement of a cat, unemia, and some type of small weasel-like animal. Some say it's a marten, some type of small animal of that nature. V'tzayas tainugol adoimi, and the excrement of a tainugol adoimi, which literally means a red hen, but it's a type of species called tainugol adoimi, which is translated in Yiddish as an English or hainer, or an indik, something similar to a turkey or chicken. Ma'achik and mehen, one is obligated to distance oneself from their excrement the same way one is obligated to distance oneself from the excrement of a person, even though it does not currently have a foul odor. But the excrement of any other animal, wild animal, or bird, such as a horse, or a dove, etc., a pigeon, probably does not have a foul odor, and therefore one does not have to distance oneself from the excrement. As if it does emit a foul odor, so to a dead carcass, which is a decaying and emitting a foul odor, or any other item which has a foul odor due to decay, as opposed to something which just smells bad inherently, because that's the nature of the item, such as tar, that is not included in this law. But something which is decaying and emits a foul odor due to the decay, the coop of chickens, even if it's not a tarnagel adami, it's not that specific species mentioned earlier, any type of chicken, but it's in the chicken coop, which is totally filthy and has an extremely foul odor. Marchikin mehen, and one is obligated to distance oneself from them. All these items with a foul odor. Vechein marchikin mimayim sruchim, also one is obligated to distance oneself from foul-smelling water. The umei mishra shashayim behen pishtan, or the water with which flax has been soaking in it, which also starts to emit a foul odor. A canvas or hemp has been some other type of plant, possibly hemp, which has been soaking in water, and the water started to emit a foul odor because of it. Stama masrichin, they are probably, even if they don't specifically have a foul odor, one must assume that these types of items generally emit a foul odor. Tzrichin lahachik mehen, k'mayim natsoya, and one is obligated to distance oneself from them, the same way one is obligated to distance oneself from regular excrement. Siv Zayin. Tzoya yevesha kolkach. Excrement which is so dry, shehi nefrechas al yedei glila, that it will break apart if one were to roll it on the ground. It would break apart. It's that dry. Harei ka'afra, it's considered like dirt. And one does not have to worry about it. One is able to pray or to study Torah even in its presence. Vuhu, and that is provided, shenlo yeheba reach ra, does not have a foul odor. If it does have a foul odor, one is obligated to distance oneself from it, even if it is so dry. Avram nikreshes machmas sakar, but if inherently it is moist, but it's currently frozen due to the cold, kevan sheyachaylam lachzor lekadmusa bizman hachaim, since it is able to revert to its natural state, and because in a time when it will be hotter, adayin shem tzoyer, it still has this status, the title of tzoyer, excrement upon it, and one is obligated to distance oneself from it. Vitzayish in its kasev is shelig, excrement which has been covered over with snow, chashav kisa, that is considered a valid covering, and one is able to pray or to or to study Torah, provided one cannot smell the foul odor, as we will discuss later, the rules regarding covering up excrement. Sifches. And kama marchikin, and how far away, and how much distance does one have to distance oneself from excrement, or from all these things that we've mentioned until now? Haisa tzoya me'acharav, if the excrement was behind the person, tzorech me'harchak mi'makim shekolo hariach, he's obligated to distance himself from the place where the smell can no longer be smelled, when the foul odor can no longer be smelled. Dalad amis, an extra 4 cubits, as we mentioned, 6 to 8 feet from the place where one can no longer smell the foul odor. Even if you personally are not able to smell, you have a cold, you do not have the faculty of smell, still, one is obligated to distance oneself this measure, this amount, as if you would smell, meaning the same distance than one who had the proper faculty of smell would have to distance himself. You too, even though you cannot smell right now, must stay the same distance away. But if the excrement right now does not smell bad, it's sufficient to distance oneself 4 amos, 4 cubits, and there's no issue of this odor because there is no odor. This is all if it's behind the person. His back is to the excrement. Vim he mila funav, but if the excrement is in front of the person, tzarech v'harchik kimlay einav, one is obligated to distance himself as far as the eye can see. You should not be able to see the tzaya, the excrement. Tafila b'layla, even at night when it's dark and one cannot physically see it, tzarech v'harchik kishir shahaya yachal nirayse b'yam, you have to distance yourself a great enough amount that you would not be able to see it were it to be daytime. Vim him in atzadim, if the excrement is to the side of the person, yish lahachmir, it's proper to be strict, ilo haisa lefanav, as if it was in front of him. This is really a disagreement. There are many who are lenient, and they say that if it's to the side, one may treat it as if it's behind the person, and one need only distance oneself 4 cubits from the end, from where the smell is no longer smellable. However, the Kitzur Paskins, the Kitzur rules that what's proper, one should be strict and treat it as if it's to the front of him, and therefore v'yatez atzmi should turn himself, meaning his whole body, so that the excrement should be behind him. It's not sufficient to turn one tail, one must turn his whole body, so his back is to the excrement. Siftas. If there is a house, that there is a congregation praying in the house, one finds excrement in that house during the prayers. Even though it's behind the chazan, the one who is leading the prayers, and he is currently the only one praying, and it's further away from him, it's more than 4 cubits away from the place where the odor can no longer be smelled. So as far as the chazan is concerned, he's able to continue praying. Still, he must be quiet to wait until they remove the excrement from the room, until they cover it. Because it is virtually impossible that this excrement should not be to at least one member of the congregation within 4 cubits from the place where the odor is no longer able to be smelled. Therefore, that congregant is not permitted to listen to the prayers of the chazan and to put his mind to what the shat, what the chazan is saying, and therefore the chazan has obligated to stop until the excrement is removed so that everybody can fully participate in the prayers.